You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 33, So Much Unrest. Wow, has it been 2 weeks since my last time I podcasted? I certainly didn't mean to wait this long to get out here, so it's been a very busy 2 weeks with many frustrations. Yeah, I have a lot of frustrations in my life. I'm sure other people do too, but, it's I guess, part of how life is, they say these things make you stronger. I'm still waiting. So with summer coming to a close here soon, I'm also trying to get as much sun as I can. So tomorrow is Labor Day here in the United States, and September 1st, which means today is the last day of August. We've had like tons of rain and everything, and so finally we've had some decent weather here these last few days. So I'm looking for a nice end to summer here. And with that, let's start the news. The events in Ferguson, Missouri so far. So back on August 9th, Michael Brown, an unarmed black teenager, 18-year-old teenager, was shot and killed by a police officer there in Ferguson, Missouri. And since then, there's been periods of unrest. There's been periods of military police force. There have been peaceful protests. There have been so many different things that have happened in that little town, which is a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri. It's really hard to put all this into perspective as far as what's gone on there. I mean, a lot of people have taken sides. A lot of people have, come up with their own assumptions of what happened. They've come up with, what really has happened. I mean, there's been some facts and different things that have come out of this, but still a lot hasn't been decided yet as far as what really happened. I mean, we have some reports from people that were, lived on that street where he was shot. They have a lot of, some conflicting stories, but mostly, people that, as far as they've got, there's a lot of people that they've got together, several people that their stories have been in sync, the ones that did actually witness what happened on that street on that Saturday, August 9th. I don't have any really strong positions on this. I have a lot of general positions of how I feel about certain things. I'm not going to pussyfoot around. I do feel that race is involved here. I'm not going to say it's a huge race issue. I know some people might disagree with me on that, but in general, it is a race issue. I mean, it's unfortunate. An unarmed black teenager was killed by a white police officer. Just that nature in itself right there brings up the race card, and it's not like I'm trying to play the race card or anyone else is trying to play the race card. A lot of people are on the side of the officer. A lot of people are on the side of, Michael Brown. What I do know and where my feelings are on this here is the fact that an armed police officer killed an unarmed black teenager. Did he know he was armed at the time? I don't know, but I'm the police officer has had training. He's had, there's so much more that, I, as well as many other people, expect from that police officer, to make a decision. Can't just go gunning down people that are in the middle of the road assuming that they're armed or assuming that they're doing wrong. You see a police officer, for me, let me paint this in a, scenario for me, from my perspective here, as far as, every time I go out on the road, if there's a cop behind me, I might think that I'm obeying the law, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what, you know, he's running my plates trying to see if I'm, you know, a convicted felon, I'm on the run, you know, I mean, it's you're guilty until proven innocent. And, you know, it's a sad state that we're in this country where, you know, we have to feel that way. You know, I mean, I know, police, their job is to protect and serve. So when the military, you know, the militarization of the police department there, where they had tanks and tear gas and all sorts of stuff there, you know, I really felt like they went too far. And, you know, if people want to support the police in that matter, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. Police should protect and serve. You know, they shouldn't just assume that some kid out in the middle of the road is doing wrong. So, you know, blam, blam, let's shoot, let's kill him, let's be done with it. No, they have a much greater responsibility. I mean, this is an 18-year-old kid, regardless of what he was doing. You know, did he shoplift? Did he shove a convenience store clerk? Did he, you know, was he, what type of kid was he? It doesn't matter what he did, good or bad, you know, right or wrong. You know, he should not have been shot and killed. You know, that's that much I will stand on what I feel should not have happened. As to what's going to happen now, you know, there's going to be a trial. Facts will come out. You know, any witnesses will come around. They will, you know, give their accounts and things like that. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the end. But, you know, plain and simple, what the facts that we do know is, again, like I repeated in the beginning, an armed police officer killed an unarmed teenager. And, you know, that's what we know. I'm very sad at what happened in Ferguson and what has happened so far. I mean, there's been enough, you know, back and forth. There's been nights of calm. There's been nights of arrest. Journalists, media, news crews have been arrested. You know, it's chaos, and it should not have been chaos. There should have been much, you know, the order there, you know, people should be able to have been able to protest peacefully without having to feel like they had tear gas thrown at them. So I don't fault anyone except for everyone. You know, a lot of people made mistakes, you know, police force, the residents, those who came from out of town to loot the stores. You know, there's been a lot of things that have happened that should not have. But, you know, in the end, I'm just going to say that, you know, we will see what happens with the trial and everything, and all the facts will come out. But, you know, it's a life that should not have been lost, and I'm just going to leave it right there. Raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. So right now the minimum wage is currently at $7.25. So this movement of raising the minimum wage is supported by President Obama and many other politicians and obviously many others in this country. Those against it are Congress and small businesses. Small businesses feel that they are paying enough to their workers and won't be able to afford to pay the almost $3 per hour increase. So 4.7% of all working class in the U.S. makes minimum wage or lower. This includes waiters and servers who make about $2.20 an hour plus their tips. You know, so what I'd like to know is the percentage of workers that make over $27.25 an hour but less than $10 an hour. You know, that's a figure that I'd like to see, you know, just to see where, you know, how many people do make a little, you know, more. They say, you know, obviously 4.7%, so that leaves a lot of other working class in the U.S. that does make more than minimum wage. But I'd like to know those that make, you know, $10 an hour and less, you know. So it's been, you know, at that $7.25, it's been 5 years since that took place. That was in July of 2009. So many feel they should just raise it to $8.15 an hour. You know, my wife and I disagree on this one. She feels that, you know, I think they should raise it to $10.10 an hour. She feels it should just only go to $8.15 an hour. So, you know, they should at least make it $9 an hour, if we're going to compromise and split the difference here. So, you know, cost of living has gone up far more in the last 5 years. So, yes, this would be a big jump. And, yes, small businesses might, you know, have to, you know, bite the bullet a little more, you know. You know, it doesn't, you know, it needs to make up for the time it's not gone up in the last 5 years. I think the minimum wage should increase every year. So it's not such a huge burden, you know, a large sum burden on businesses that feel this increase would take away from their bottom line. So I can sympathize with some of them, you know, some of your smaller mom and pop shops. You know, that's fine, you know, to have to be forced to pay a bigger increase. But, you know, employee turnover rates, training costs, other functions and cost of keeping and managing employees, you know, it's an added cost to begin with anyway. I mean, if you can, you know, if your employees are not making enough, they need to make enough to where they can, you know, make ends meet and not have to worry about trying to, you know, quit, start a job, work there for a little bit and then quit and try to, you know, go somewhere else to make more money. So I think the, you know, the whole point of raising the minimum wage should not be an issue, and neither should the increased cost when it's done more frequently, you know. So 10-10's a big jump, but, you know, they should have been raising it, you know, every little bit over, you know, a little bit over the last 5 years every year. Ice bucket challenges. So this has been going on for several weeks now. You know, if you're on the internet, it's hard to ignore what, you know, seeing any of this stuff, you know. So people dump a bucket of ice water on their head, donate money to ALS, which is also Lou Gehrig's disease, or known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Then they challenge three others to do the same, you know, dump a bucket of ice on their head and donate, a sum of money. So it's worked, as ALS has received millions more dollars than they usually get since these challenges started. But as with most larger nonprofit centers and companies there are costs associated with doing business. Plus, they tend to get greedy sometimes, as ALS is wanting to trademark the Ice Bucket Challenge, which, thankfully, was a short-lived idea. Susan Komen, you know, the Komen breast cancer thing. That don't get me started on that one. So, you know, many stars like Matt Damon, Neil Gaiman, Motley Crue, Aerosmith, Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters took part in the challenge and donations. So, right, you know, it's great. Got a lot of money. Now, the one issue here that I take issue with, and a lot of other people have too, is that only 27% of the donations to ALS are used for research. This needs to be more, you know. You know, it's a large organization, I guess. You know, they tend to use money for operating business and other things besides the research. Would be nice to see better management, you know, to where they can, you know, maybe half the money goes towards research, which would be, you know, much better than, you know, just the one quarter of it, a little more than one quarter of it. Regardless, the attention this disease has received has been positive. So to some, it seems silly, some a waste of time or a waste of water. But in the long run, it will be, you know, it's good to get ALS awareness. This week's rant, I bitch about the weather. I do it out here. I do it in my blog. I do it in real life. So all the rain that we get at once is never good. So lots of rain here in Salt Lake City these last 10 days. You know, last few days has been nice, but, you know, the previous 10 days, we had a lot of rain. Phoenix got more rain in one day than they did in all of the summer of 2013. So I know, yes, complain, 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 but, you know, it's summer, and it's hard to plan outdoor activities when it rains a lot. For example, a week ago Friday, we attended a Salt Lake Bees baseball game, and it got rained out. It just kept pouring, and got postponed. So one day, coming out of the swimming pool across the street at our friend's house, you know, one Sunday, just minutes of walking home, starts pouring like crazy. We have some roof damage due to years of wear and tear on our roof in our older home here, and we have a leak in our attic. So when it rains a large amount, you know, we get little drips in the house and have to put a bucket on the floor. You know, early in the lawn mowing season, I was able to mulch. With the large amount of rain we've had, I've had to bag it the last few weeks. So, yeah, I appreciate the rain. I really do. But, you know, when we get so much at once, it doesn't do any good. It just washes off everywhere. So reservoirs overflow, hillsides flood, cause slide-offs. Also, I'm trying to have a nice end of the summer here, so it's hard to do that when I'm stuck inside. This week's shameless plug, Tom Bailey is touring. Who's Tom Bailey? He is the lead singer of the Thompson Twins, the 80s band. So this is the first time he is singing the Thompson Twins songs in 27 years. So there's a tour out there that just recently started here and is coming to Utah here. More on that in a little bit, but it's called Retro Futura, and he's touring with Howard Jones, Midger, China Crisis. They had a warm-up gig in the UK, which the YouTube video is attached to the show notes for this episode. So with the exception of some off-key Brits in the audience, British people, the under 1 hour club show was great. I was highly impressed when I watched this, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait. So it's not the original classic lineup, but the voice that sang each one of these songs, like Into the Gap, Lies, and In the Name of Love. I can't wait to see him perform these hits, at live, on stage here. And that's coming up this Saturday here, September 6th here in Utah. So if you are a fan of this band, you should check out the tour dates and see if there's a stop coming to your town. It's right now, it's in progress. So peaceful protesting, please. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.